Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday morning, Monday, March the 11th, 2024. 12 and a half minutes past the hour, and we thank Abby Chase for coming in with the wrestling roundup this morning. Sounds like the Marion kids did very well at the tournament this past weekend, and sounds like Elgin rewrote the history books, as they say, and that is very, very nice. By the way, I am in the studio today, so if you want to give me a buzz on anything, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I thought Abby did a tremendous job in giving us a preview of what was going to happen on Friday and calling in on Friday night with the report. I don't know if anybody got a chance to hear that. And then the wrap-up this morning. And I think it's just more... I mean, you certainly are more involved. I don't know how you couldn't be when you have a stepson involved in the championship match. But I thought she described that very well and all the emotions involved and very honestly. And I think that helps a lot of other people who may be going through similar things with their kids. So I enjoyed that a lot. 740-383-9944. All right. Well, this past weekend kicked off with the Kiwanis Pancake Day. Carrington and Matt and I and Mary Ellen Withrow were all there on Saturday morning. And Matt and Carrington and I did some of the serving, filled people's coffee and walked around and cleared spaces. It was a lot of fun. You know, there's just something about the Pancake Day. I've been going to it for so many years. I used to do the announcing for Martha Dowse's group, and then I think I've went with Mary Ellen to do this waiter thing for the last couple years, and it's just a lot of fun. You see a lot of people you know. It's a good time. Everybody's in a good mood. And what more can you say? The Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast is a lot of fun. So if anybody else went there or has anything to say in regard to that, they can also give me a buzz here this morning, 740-383-9944. Everybody might be feeling that that time change hangover this morning. And as I was saying, I really felt as if I had beat the time change. Because on Saturday, I went to bed at a normal time. And slept pretty good Sunday night when the actual time change happened. And I was good yesterday. But then last night I had some visitors about 8 o'clock. And they did not leave until about midnight. And so I did not get to sleep until about 1 o'clock. And coming off of the time change, having a night where I didn't get to sleep till about 1 o'clock and then getting up early this morning to come in here and do this show, you know, that'll throw you into a little bit of a tailspin. I'm not super tired, to be honest with you. I think you could tell if I was super tired. It's not really that. It's just kind of like a grogginess, a haze that will hopefully clear up as the day goes along. Today. Did anybody else feel the time change this past weekend? Did they get into the grogginess of it all here as we convene on Monday morning? I did not watch the Academy Awards last night because, as I was saying, I obviously had people over. But Oppenheimer was the big winner last night. I have not seen Oppenheimer, but that was the movie to beat. I kept hearing that as we were going into the Academy Awards, and it turns out that they walked away, I think, with Best Picture last night and several other awards. So I guess congratulations to all the people who worked on Oppenheimer. So what else was going on this weekend? Okay. Well, I'll get to this in a second. But I had two fun experiences this past weekend, which I think go back to being out a lot doing things lately, you know, all the Mary Ellen events that went on the week before, going to the Turn Up the Heat dance at the Women's Club, doing the Pancake Day last Saturday. Well, I was at Pancake Day on Saturday morning, and I had just come in the door, and I wasn't even down to the cafetorium yet. I was sitting by the door. And Mary Ellen had come in, and I think Carrington was there. I don't think Matt had come in yet, but we all were sitting down by the door, just kind of waiting to go down to the cafeteria to do the serving. And a lady walked up to me who I knew I recognized her, but I did not know who she was. And I finally realized that I had seen her at the Turn Up the Heat dance last Saturday at the Women's Club. And she walked up to me and she goes, "Hey, I'm seeing you twice in 1 week. I must be going to all the right places." So very, very, very nice lady. And if I knew her name, I would tell you her name, but I don't. But it's nice to be running into people and have nice people say nice things. Now, this next story I love because there's no embellishment in this story at all. Saturday night, I was really busy all day Saturday. I did the Kiwanis pancake breakfast, and then I went over to Bucyrus on Saturday and really did not get back till later in the evening. So I decided I wanted something to eat, and I had gotten home and kind of gotten into some comfortable clothes and was just going to relax for the rest of the night. And I decided, you know, I really want something to eat, and I don't want to cook anything, so I think I'm going to drive down and get something to eat. So I ordered something, and I thought, okay, I have to go pick this up, but I'm just going to pick it up through the drive-thru. So I go down through the drive-thru, and I get to the drive-thru. Now, you know, when you go to the drive-thru, that it's hard to see who's in the car because it's kind of dark at that point, and how much can you really see? So I pull up to the drive-thru, and the person working the drive-thru was maybe 16, 17 years old, certainly no older than that. So they say, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, I have an order for Spears." So the kid goes over and gets my order, and he brings it back to the window, and he says, "Hey, didn't you do that program with Mary Ellen Withrow at River Valley?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I did." And he says, "I really enjoyed that. I just want to let you know that was a lot of fun." And that was kind of interesting to me because here's this 17-year-old kid who, you know, didn't seem like he was interested in a whole lot, who enjoyed the program we did. And there was a big question mark when we were preparing those programs. Are they going to be something that kids of this generation are going to be interested in? Because all the kids in high school right now were born after Mary Ellen left office. And I thought, well, is this still going to be interesting to people? And it was. And sticking with this kid 8 days later, when I ran into him at this particular time in the drive-thru. Now, the problem with this was I looked probably like I had just crawled out of the gutter because, you know, I was in, you know, comfortable clothes. I don't even think I had my glasses on, which I don't need to drive, by the way, so it was okay that I didn't have my glasses on. Probably hair was looking strange. Not that it doesn't look strange on a regular day anyway, but it was just weird meeting him in that circumstance. But I was so glad to hear that they were very taken with the Mary Ellen Withrow program. So that's nice to hear. That's just a nice thing to hear. All right. Again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I just feel like so much is going on right now. It's one of the busiest times I think I have had in many, many years. And this week, oh, I can give you an update on something. Now, last week I came on this program, and it sounded a little bit cryptic. Now, I'm going to run through this again, because I really haven't talked about this, I don't think since last Wednesday, but I can give you an update now of when I can talk about this more. Now, what I had said was, I had gotten a phone call, I guess it's been about 2 weeks ago now, from somebody who had been on this program very often. And the person called up, and they just said, "You're going to be getting a phone call from somebody very soon, and you'll know who the call is from when you get it." And I thought, okay, that sounds very interesting. So about 5 days passed, and a week ago Saturday, I get a phone call from a big company. Let's put it that way. And immediately, I knew that this is probably what this is all about. So I talked to this person, but it was a very short phone call, and basically it was, I'll call you back, and I'll fill you in with more details when I have them. Now, the reason I can't talk about this is because it's embargoed, and I was told it was embargoed when I got the information. Now, an embargo in journalism essentially means that I can't talk about it until they make the announcement. So, that's why I'm being very cryptic about this whole thing. But it was a call I never thought I would get. I don't know that it's ever happened in Marion, Ohio, have ever gotten a call like this. Maybe they have. I don't know. But I certainly had never heard of anything like this. But the calls progressed last week. I did get another call. It was either Wednesday or Thursday last week from the person with the big company, and we did a little bit of negotiation. As I said, we needed to get through some negotiation first, and I believe the announcement will be made on Wednesday now, so I can say that, but I think it will be made Wednesday after I'm already off the air, so I won't be able to talk about it Wednesday morning, but I will be able to talk about it Thursday morning. So if you're wondering what all this mystery is, I can't really say anything until Thursday morning, but if you tune in on Thursday morning, I should be able at that point to fill in all the lines and dots and things that I'm not making much sense saying now. We have a little more negotiation to do, and I imagine I will hear from them in the next couple days. But, I think Wednesday the announcement will be made, and Thursday I'll be able to fill you in a little more on what it's all about and what's happening. So that's about all I can say so far, but I can now tell you the date on when I think it will be becoming a public thing. And it's a very, very, very strange thing, but a very fun thing. On the other hand. So, there you are. If anybody has anything to say in regard to that, phone lines are open there. So glad I was able to get that information out. 740-383-9944. Remember, I am in the studio today, so the number is the studio number. 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or anything that I can fill in the dots with, I would be glad to do that. All right, let's turn to city government here, because there is a city council meeting tonight. And for many, I don't know how many weeks now, but I've been wondering the answer to Scherzer Park. Because as many of you know, back in December, Founders Park was named, the name was changed to Scherzer Park in honor of Mayor Scott Scherzer. Okay. A new sign was put up, and that was that. So, sometime in January or early February, the Scherzer Park sign was taken down, and it was renamed Founders Park. And nobody could figure out what had happened in this particular situation. Well, I finally got the answer this past weekend from one of my city contacts. And I'm going to read it just as I have it. So here's what happened with Scherzer Park, if you want to know. Scherzer Park is being back to being called Founders Park. Busby and Founders Park are not under the Parks Commission. They are an administrative park, which means the name of these parks can only be changed by the city's administration, not by the Parks Commission. So, the name is now going to be Founders Park. The shelter there is still Scherzer's Shelter. So, that's what happened. Apparently, there are two parks in Marion, Founders Park and Busby Park, which fall under the administration of the city. And that's why Scherzer Park went back to being called Founders Park when it was called Scherzer Park, because it can only be changed by the administration. Now, that brings some questions up, because they did change the name the Park Commission changed the name. And that was what was always confusing to me, because the Park Commission had changed the name, and I knew that the Park Commission had voted to do it because it said it on the sign for Schertzer Park. But apparently, the part of this story I really don't understand is did somebody in the administration not like that it was called Schertzer Park, because they'd already got a new sign, and apparently the administration can change the name. I really don't quite understand why it went back the other way. I understand that the Parks Commission did not have the authority to change it, even though they did, but why it was undone, that I really don't know. But that's the story. 27 and a half minutes past the hour here. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We are in the studio today. But that is the story with Schertzer Park, as we have it. Was that apparently the administration has to change the name, and they did not do it. So the Parks Commission, even though they changed the name, did not have the authority to do it. And that's what caused the whole falderall with Schertzer Park. Which, on the whole, you know, the whole thing, honestly, is just very confusing. Because you think the Parks Commission would know that they could not change the name before the sign came in, because it was a great big nice sign. And then again, the question that I have is, why was it changed back? That seems a little interesting, but that's the story. So it is going to remain Founders Park, certainly for the time being, and the Schertzer Shelter will remain part of Founders Park. Now, do you think this is a good thing? Because I remember a lot of people were very happy and they thought the idea of Schertzer Park was a good idea. But now, see, this goes back to the whole, you know, when we were talking about city government at the beginning of the year, quite a bit, the whole problem seems to be that people aren't exactly sure what they can and cannot do in a nutshell. And I'm not really sure when or how this started, that people don't really have a good grasp on what is doable and what is not doable. Clearly, in this case, changing the name of this particular park was not doable. And I'm still not even sure what Founders Park means. I don't know if that's an homage to Eber Baker or what it is, but there you have it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Oh, by the way, I did get a package, I think it was on Friday, from one of our longtime listeners, Judy. Now, Judy, I don't know if you're out there this morning, but I did get your package of newspaper articles. Judy had a little contretemps on the air here a couple months ago, or maybe about a month ago now. And there were, I think, some hurt feelings at that time. And she said that she was not going to listen anymore. But I hope she is out there listening and maybe just not calling in, because I did get the newspaper articles, and I certainly do appreciate that. And I hope all is well in that particular situation. So I hope all is well, Judy, and we're all friends again and up and running with life. Now, well, we are getting a message out here from one of our listeners that maybe it sounds like sour grapes from the current administration. You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if it is sour grapes on the current administration's part. I would hate to put that on them until I know what exactly happened. Because I guess in theory, that even though the Park Commission changed the name of the park when they didn't have let's see here. Well, there are a lot of people here, apparently. Now we've got two messages up here that maybe somebody in the administration did not like the name of Scott Schertzer being on that park. Well, that's from two people out there. I don't know. Somebody give me a call. We've got two of our listeners messaging me here. I think it's an interesting conversation to have, because we've been talking about this park for a long time and why it got changed back to Founders Park. Do you like the idea that it got changed back to Founders Park? Is that okay? Should it have been handled this way? And I really don't know if an administration can change the name. Once it was already done and the new sign was ordered, even though the Park Commission didn't have the power to do it, wouldn't you just go along with it since it's already been done? And I mean, doesn't Mayor Schertzer deserve a park? I don't know who deserves a park and who doesn't, but I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. That just sounds... I had said leading up to this that it sounded like a little bit of a tough event. It didn't sound right. And you know, now that I actually know what the reasoning is behind it, I still don't think it sounds all that right. It just sounds a little kind of, I don't know, kind of what our listeners are saying out here on social media, that maybe there's a little bit of sour grapes involved in this matter. I don't know. It's odd, but what can you do? 740-383-9944. Remember, I am in the studio today, so if you want to give me a buzz, I would certainly be glad to talk to you. It's always fun to talk to the listening audience out there and have insightful conversations about what's going on in the world. 740-383-9944. Oh, by the way, I did get an update last week as well. We made the announcement a while back that Chipotle would be moving... we're getting a call here. We'll come back to this in just 1 second. Let's take the phone call here first. Go ahead, caller.
I think they should rename it the Collins Spears Park.
Well, we're together so often, I think we might as well be bonded in the park.
I think so.
You know, it's interesting. I have not seen Mayor Collins in quite a while now, so maybe if we did see each other, everything would be fine at this point. I don't know.
He wasn't at the pancake breakfast?
No, I didn't. He might have been. Maybe we just missed each other time-wise, but the 3 hours I was there, I didn't see him.
He probably hid from you.
He might have. I mean, now that we have speculated for so long about this park thing, I got two listeners out here on social media, I'm not going to give their names, who seem to think it's sour grapes on the administration's part. What do you make of that explanation?
I hope not. I mean, that would be pretty petty, I would think. I mean, how long was he in office?
16 years.
16 years, yeah. I mean, how do you feel about naming something like that after somebody that is still alive or still in office? Do you think that that's appropriate?
You know what? Yes, because I'll tell you what I don't like, unfortunately, is when something like that happens when they're dead.
Because, you don't like that?
No, because they don't really get a chance to enjoy it. They're not there when it happens. And really, I think it brings, in a way, kind of a sadness to the family, even though they are happy that it's happening. I think they always turn to themselves and go, well, I wish they were here to see this.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I can see where you would want that individual to receive the recognition, you know, while they're still above ground. So, yeah, no, I mean, I've got mixed feelings on it, I guess, admittedly, but...
Well, now, what's the mixed feeling?
Well, just that if it's like a government official, it should be after they are gone that the community recognizes them, maybe not dead, but at least out of office, I guess.
You know what's odd about this whole situation? And again, I don't know if any administration had anything to do with that, but the explanation that I was given by a person in city government was that those two parks, Founder and Busby, because they are administrative parks, can only have their name changed by the administration, not the Parks Commission. And I get that. And the Parks Commission did change that name. They absolutely did. It was on the sign. If you would have read the Schertzer Park sign, it said at the bottom, voted unanimously by the Parks Commission. So they did not have the authority to do it. But once you do it, and you send away for the sign, and you put the sign in the ground there, and people are aware that it's done, why would you unding that bell?
I agree. Why would you?
I mean, that's what comes off looking a little weird here.
So things weren't done properly in the city of Marion?
Yeah. Well,
what?
You know what?
What?
I'm getting more confused by the day. Yeah, well, the people on the Parks Commission are very seasoned Marion folk. And that's what I'm confused on how that's... How do you vote unanimously to do it, order a sign? I assume the sign was ordered with city money. I don't think it came out of anybody's pocket, I can't imagine, on the Parks Commission. Take down the old sign, put the new sign up. Nobody in city government knows that it happened, and it stays that way for a month until... And then it also begs the question, who looked into that to say, hey, wait a second, who did that? Why did they do that? They shouldn't have done that, and because they shouldn't have done that, let's pull that thing out of there.
Well, you know as well as I do, you do whatever you want to do, and nothing happens, right?
You know, unfortunately, it's starting to look that way, but... You know, here's the problem. Who but for the people of Marion are going to hold these people accountable?
Nobody, but there's really not any accountability from the people of Marion either.
Why do you think that is? I mean, certainly people know. I mean, the stories we put on social media, the people who listen to this station, the backlash we get from people, I know people are listening. So why do you think there's not a follow-through?
I mean, there's probably a variety of reasons as far as potential retaliation or just stress involved or the amount of energy that it takes to actually see something like that through, distractions, personal conflict. I mean, there's a whole litany of reasons, but, I mean, it's sad. It's reality.
Well, I just feel bad in a way that this happened, and I don't know how Mayor Schertzer feels about it. Although, you know, Mayor Schertzer, I didn't mention that he did call me last week. I just haven't had a chance to call him back yet. It's been a busy time. But I think it's interesting, and it's saying that I don't know how he feels about it, that this would happen, because I would imagine that's not the best feeling in the world.
No, I think you should get him on.
You know, I think he'll come back on. I mean, I have to give him a call. I probably will try to call him back tonight or tomorrow and sort out whatever he would like to talk about. But it's an odd situation.
It is very strange, very strange.
Do you feel like you've been brought up to date on wrestling in the last couple broadcasts on this station?
Yeah, I've probably heard more about wrestling than I care to know.
Well, how did you feel, though? I thought what was interesting this morning was having the stepmother of one of these championship wrestlers who gets to that final match and doesn't win. I thought that was a unique perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of time and dedication and energy that goes into getting to that point, you know, so I commend all those athletes.
Yeah, I think they do a tremendous job, but it must be very tough on the family and certainly the wrestler themselves to get to the final match and have something like that happen.
Yeah, no, it is.
Do you think we put too much pressure on kids? I often wonder that in social media, because obviously when I was growing up, that wasn't going on, that you could, you know, instantaneously post pictures and say things about your kid doing great, and that's great, and you should be proud of your kid, but then when that happens, you know, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on kids and, you know, the parents, you know, to drive them here and drive them there and do this and do that, so they don't have enough time, I don't think, to just be kids, you know, between all the commitments that they have in school and then after school. I don't know. I spent a lot of time, you know, just exploring the fields and streams, and now I'm a country boy, so a little bit different than the city kids and stuff, but I think that it's important to, you know, have a time in your youth where you're given a little bit of independence and just, I guess, exploration, you know.
You know, did you get a chance to listen to the Friday night show last week?
I listened to it after.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What I thought was interesting, and I was going to bring this up this morning. Now, normally, I'm the one, or it comes off one of our topics, where we get into a conversation about divorce, and, you know, we've done that conversation many times. But what I felt unique, and what I thought was new to the conversation on Friday night was, Matt and Carrington, you know, the younger ones here, they brought it up, and they did not seem to grasp the idea that, and they're smart kids, they did not seem to grasp the idea that when you are married and divorced 2, 3, 4 times, that person doesn't realize that they are making mistakes. They seem to think that person realizes what they're doing. And I've tried to convey to them, they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand how ridiculous it looks. I found that fascinating on Friday. Maybe that's a younger perspective thing.
Yeah, I think it's a... I don't know. I don't know how many people, I guess, have the commitment level in anything. And why should a marriage be any different? And I think definitely probably the younger generations have more of a selfish, I'm not calling them selfish, but you know what I mean, where that's how they look at marriage. I mean, if it works for a time, then okay, then you move on. And if there are difficult challenges that present themselves in a relationship and you don't feel like doing it or, you know, trying to resolve them, then just move on.
Well, it's just interesting because as I was having that conversation with them on Friday night, what popped in my head was, and honestly, people can say I'm trying to be mean with this comment, and I'm not trying to be mean. And as I said Friday night, I know 3 people who have been married multiple times, 3 or more. And so I am not, I'm speaking from experience here. And what I've noticed about those people is that they... Everything is new the first time. They tend to have a lower self-esteem about themselves. And I don't think that they realize that they're going from thing to thing to thing to thing. I think they always believe that the thing they're in is the best thing. And that's that. And everything else, I think they have very short memories, I think is what it really amounts to.
Then I don't think many people are introspective. I don't think that they reflect. And there was an interesting study that I read, I don't know, a couple months ago about how many people, if they're in a complete, like, isolated, you know, no distractions from digital, you know, cell phones or laptops, computers, anything, how many of them have, like, a internal, like, dialogue or, like, thoughts going in their heads while they're just, like, at peace. And it's a very small percentage of the population that has any thoughts or activities in those, you know, down times. So, you know, I don't know about you, but, like, my mind races and I think about different things even in those situations. But apparently, majority of people will just be completely, I mean, they're conscious, they're awake, but there's not really anything going on, like, in those, not to say they're, you know, stupid or not able to function in life, it's just, I wonder if there's a correlation with that in, like, introspection, you know, looking at your life and thinking about things and being analytical on the personal level, and I don't think that they're, I don't think many people are. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right, and I think, it really is. I think people think it comes out of a place of anger, but I am not an angry person, and that certainly wouldn't be something that I'm angry about because it's not my, you know, as they say, not my monkeys, not my circus. You know, I'm not married and divorced all those times. But the thing of it is that what it does make, I almost feel... sadness for those people that they don't quite get it. Now, I'm sure they would say, don't feel sad for me. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. But you can't help. Everything is track record. You know, they always say, pay attention to your record because that's what's going to come back and haunt you. And it's true because you make decisions throughout your life. And it almost makes me sad in a way that this is what society has come to, that if I'm happy in the moment, everything else in the past is just superfluous.
Yeah, that's it. It's very much a instant gratification society and living in the now.
Did you watch the Academy Awards last night?
Heck no.
No, neither did I. So
I don't care about that.
Have you, have you seen Oppenheimer?
Have I seen Oppenheimer? No, but that is one movie I would actually sit down and watch, I think. I haven't seen it, but I would watch that.
Did you go to the pancake breakfast?
No, I won tickets on
I know.
Pastor Craig, and then I tried to call, and nobody picked up, so then I was busy, and I didn't make another effort.
Well, I thought he was going to bring the tickets to you.
He was, but he told me to call, and I did. I called, like, during the 1 o'clock hour.
Oh.
And nobody picked up.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I know. The other beef I noticed on your Exchange Club, which I didn't listen at the live broadcast, but you guys were talking about presidential campaigns and lesser of two evils. And he said, I read that recently where there was somebody that had a campaign. I said, I was screaming at the radio. I said, I called in and told you that. It was Rutherford B. Hayes in his 1876 election. He literally said, vote Hayes, the lesser of two evils.
Well, I mean, after the State of the Union last week and all that, we didn't get a whole lot of chance to talk about that on Friday because we had Abby in and we had Jessica in and all that. But, I mean, what do you make of this whole lesser of two evils bit? I mean, I don't even know what that means exactly.
It is a lesser of two evils. You have two parties. I know you try to say there's not a lot of difference between the two, but they're both controlled by corporate interests and foreign interests, essentially, through their donations, you know, that they get. The party structures, are they different on certain issues? Yes. But when it comes down to it, like the core issues that are of value to those international interests, corporate interests, they're going to go the same way.
Well,
one may go down. You know, I always say, for the most part, they're traveling on a road to hell. One's going 160 miles an hour, and one's going 120. And you pick which one is 160 and 120.
When I say that I think there is difference between them, when people say there is no difference, I mean, fundamentally, here's what it is. Okay, it's Walmart and it's Meijer. To me, in that fundamentally, you have to campaign, you have to fundraise. There's lobbyists on both sides. You have to do that because that's the world we live in now, where you got to raise millions and millions of dollars to run for these offices because campaigns go on forever. And do they all fight with each other? Yes, there are similarities in that way, but in the belief system, if you're the voter and you're voting for something, those are the people who say there's no difference. And whatever your top issue is, whether your top issue is abortion, which apparently it is for a lot of people, as we just saw in Ohio last year, whether your issue is maybe legalization of marijuana, whether your issue is taxation, whether your issue is capital punishment, whatever your issue is, there are stark differences in the party on those issues. So how they're set up and how they are funded, now that's similar, but how they rule, I mean, Supreme Court justice appointments, completely different. Positions in their cabinets, completely different, what they do and what they stand for. How they feel about student loan, that's become a big thing. Student loan forgiveness and student loan debt. Certainly foreign affairs are certainly becoming a big difference between the two parties if we pay attention to the State of the Union address. I think there are big differences in those for the voter. Now, do they all have to raise money? Are they all indebted to lobbyists to some degree? Yeah, they are. But if, I mean, if you are, just the stark one, if you are pro-choice, you're probably going to vote for the Democrat, because that's the Supreme Court justice you're going to get. If you are pro-life, you're probably going to vote for the Republican, if that's your most important issue.
Those are wedge issues. And again, there's a difference between differences of rhetoric and differences of action. And for the most part, there are very little differences in action that between the two parties. There may be differences in rhetoric. I mean, just like the student loans. Did that happen? No.
Well, it
didn't happen.
Well,
it was just rhetoric.
But it didn't happen because the Congress would not pass it. I think it was sent to the Supreme Court. I think Biden would have done it. I think the Supreme Court stopped him.
Well, I still contend that when it comes down to it, yes, there are certain wedge issues that they use. They have, you know, slightly, you know, or sometimes significant differences in rhetoric. But when it comes down to it, you end up at the same place, regardless of the party, because of the pollution that comes in the form of international money and corporate money.
Well, I guess I look at the previous two administrations, the Trump administration and the Obama administration, and I look at the Affordable Care Act, and certainly Republicans didn't want that. Democrats did, and you got it because you got a Democratic president. And then I look at the makeup of the Supreme Court that overturned Roe versus Wade, which had been around for 50 years. Clearly the Democrats did not want that overturned, and the Republicans did, so that's what they did. And that is based on who you voted for. Had we got Hillary Clinton in 2016, the Supreme Court would look a whole lot different right now, and highly unlikely Roe versus Wade would be overturned. And also, the Affordable Care Act came down to being overturned by one senator, John McCain. And had he not disliked Trump so much, I think it probably would have been overturned.
Yeah. Again, we're going to go in circles.
No, but you think those are...
We're going to go in circles.
But see,
on issues of substance that really matter, you end up at the same place. That's why there isn't ever really any change when you talk about at least the Republicans that claim to be conservative. What have they conserved? Nothing. In 60 years, more than that, for their entire existence, what have they conserved? What victories have they obtained?
Well, the makeup of the party is different. That's certainly for sure. I mean, I would agree with you there in that I don't know that any politician is necessarily a conservative anymore. In the natural sense, but I certainly don't think that they are as liberal on social issues, which I think is what liberal was supposed to mean, or progressive, as anybody else. I certainly don't think that.
Well, liberal has been shifted to the left. I mean, if you look at a classical liberal, somebody like Thomas Jefferson, you know, it was just somebody that didn't, you know, when it goes back to those days, you had the conservatives that were allied with the, you know, the king and the crown, and then you had more liberal thoughts that, you know, challenged those notions. So a classical liberal would be somebody that we would call like a libertarian today. Now you would say a liberal, you know, they're further left on that political spectrum. And interestingly, most of the time, they are the ones that are using government in order to take away individual, you know, or to expand government power, which, you know, has a negative impact on a lot of things.
Hey, on that note, with about 4 minutes left to go here, did you hear Matt's interview on Friday with Chase Oliver?
I didn't. No, I didn't hear it. I heard your commentary about how awful it was, but
well, no, I don't know that I said awful. I don't know that that's what I said. Now that may be what you read into that, but I don't know that I came out and said it was awful.
Not that Matt did awful.
No, it had nothing to do with Matt.
He was being a politician and was skirting the questions and that sort of thing.
I was just I just was completely confused on what he was trying to say. And I mean, we've had politicians on before, and certainly national politicians, who maybe wanted to dance around a question. But this guy, I mean, he was just asked his opinion on the State of the Union, and the thing that rings in my ears so heavy is just the personal shots he was taking that I couldn't understand why you would do that as a presidential candidate in the United States that's on the ballot in, I believe, the Libertarians are either on in all 50 states or pretty close to it. I couldn't believe that you would come on a show the morning after and take those kind of just pot shots. I mean, it wasn't even... And he took them at Trump and Biden, and I thought, you know... There was a bet. If you want to attack age and you want to attack dictatorship, which seems to be the thing to do now, if you want to do that, there's a way to do that and sound smart. How he did it, it sounded like he was up on stage at the Funny Bone trying to get a laugh. And I just thought, wow, what was that?
I'll have to listen to it.
Well, I mean, the line, and listen for this line, and it was particularly with Biden, but he did the same thing with Trump. He could not go after Biden's speech, because in the beginning he said, that is the most lucid speech I've heard Biden give in a long time, and he sounded good, so he gave him that. And then he comes in with, well, maybe he got his B12 shot that day or something like that. And I thought, oh, you know, how many comedians are out of work? Do we really need to do that?
Not that he's wrong.
Well, you never know. I don't know what goes on. I don't know the medical history. But he did the same thing with Trump over dictatorship. You know, it was the same type of idea. And I thought, you know, I mean, if you believe that Biden is too old, say it. If you believe that Trump... And I gave the example of Mary Ellen. You know, she was quoted in the newspaper last week as saying that she believes Trump is going to be a dictator. Well, she just said it. She didn't try to make a joke. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Right. Well, I'll have to listen to it and let you know my thoughts.
Yeah, it's just an interesting world we live in, and, you know, I guess that's the way it goes, but there's always something to talk about, and I do think that as the week progresses, we certainly have some more on local news, and on Thursday, I'll finally be able to discuss what the cryptic nature of the things I've been talking about are.
I'm waiting for that.
Thursday morning. Morning's the time. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, that wraps up our program today. I hope you had a good time. And again, I want to thank Abby Chase, my guest this morning, for giving us the wrestling roundup. By the way, the Route 95 here in Marion is going under some serious construction. So I took Bexley on the boulevard to get around it. So that might be something you want to do if you're headed that way today. All right, for this Monday, Groggy Monday, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.